Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the snap, orbit motion, it's a reverse. Olave going Philly special, and it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the 2-yard line, and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
Great play right there by Cole Bishop. One of yesterday's highlights, Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Glad to be a part of that broadcast on a beautiful, glad to be on the sidelines on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon at Highmark Stadium. Yesterday, Bills take care of business 31-19 over the New Orleans Saints. They are now the only undefeated team in the entire AFC and the only two teams that are undefeated in the entire NFL are the Buffalo Bills and the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. That's it. 4-0 and 4-0. The Bills have right now everything in front of them to get the one. They have to get this thing home, folks. I'm going to be like Bulldog here. Get it to the garage. Get it in. You got to be able to get this thing to the garage to get the one seed. Short of injury, there's nothing that should stop them from doing that except for themselves. And you can't let that happen. They are 4-0. They have a New England team that's going to come in here ready to try and show that they are going to be competitors with the Bills now and in the future next Sunday, and we'll get to all that a little bit later in the week. But first, a lot more in this game. Let's welcome you back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, and that is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show when we're talking on a Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Before I forget, we do need to go over some injuries because there was one major looking injury yesterday, but the guy returned, and this is the Barnes Firm Injury Report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION, and that was the punter, Cameron Johnston. Really awful looking injury when he got blasted, run into, roughed his plant leg. And he was out for a while, he limping badly, threw his helmet down, goes into the tent. Then he comes out and he holds for a field goal. So he actually came back in the game, he was cleared. But man, that kind of injury, I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain playing actually going forward. We'll see. You never know. Sean McDermott will speak later today to the media, give an update on injuries. We'll find out a little bit more on Cameron Johnston. He said after the game that he felt good, but, you know, they'll look at it. And it just seems like one of those deals where you might have to go out and get a punter now. And you feel terrible for the guy because he just tore his ACL last year in game one against the Pittsburgh Steelers and missed a whole year. So the Bills could be on the lookout for that. And then otherwise, really the only other injuries of note are the ones that the guys who are still injured who are coming back at some point. Like Maxwell Harrison is now actually eligible to start practicing this week if the Bills choose. Same thing with Tyler Bass. Same thing with Tylon Grable. So we'll see. All right, your calls here on a Buffalo Football Monday here on the second hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Dan in Buffalo is up next, waiting patiently. Hi, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I just wanted to say real quick, I disagree with a lot of the fans that are calling saying, you know, no long ball. I think we are a more effective team now that we have James Cook who's running, because in the past, Singletary had to work so hard to try to even get 40 yards. So we got a dominant running game. I don't know all the play calls because I didn't play football. I played other sports. But when Coleman runs and he turns around and gets like a 15-yard curl route, then you might do a 5-yard slant to Shakir. I just think we're a more dangerous team. I call it like a military precision passing. I can care less if Josh Allen throws a 50-yard pass the rest of his career. Use your legs. You got the run game. You're keeping – when you got to face teams like the Chiefs, or God forbid we got to play – I would love to see an Eagles-Bills Super Bowl. Those good teams are not going to let Josh Allen throw 50, 60, 70-yard bombs. Keep slanting, curl routes, slant passes. You're keeping a good offense off the field. You're eating the clock. Less mistakes, less interceptions.
Yeah. The other part about that is, Dan, something you just said, which is if people are concerned about the Bills' defense, what's a good way to mitigate that? Keep them off the field, right? You could do that too,
yes,
you know?
And yeah. I just one more thing. I think the only thing the Bills did wrong yesterday is, until Dalton Kincaid caught that touchdown pass, I was saying, yeah, they're moving the ball with what I call military precision short passes. They weren't using the tight ends enough.
No, they didn't. That's right, yeah.
Other than that, I just think that makes us a more dangerous team. I don't care about when we lost to the Chiefs and it was always long ball to Diggs, long ball to Davis when he had 200 yards back in 2020 or whatever. This is a more dangerous offense if it comes down to playoff time. And, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. No, it's okay, Dan. I want to touch on your tight end usage point. It's a good point because they did not use the tight ends much yesterday. Jackson Hawes was the most snaps, had the most snaps for any tight end yesterday. Then it was Knox, one more than Kincaid, but Hawes was on the field quite a bit more than those guys. And they didn't throw to the tight ends. They had three targets. One was a nice catch by Jackson Hawes, and then the touchdown to Dalton Kincaid, two catches. I think yesterday was just, this goes back to the old saying, every game has its own DNA. Remember the game a few weeks ago, maybe last week, whatever, tight ends were more involved, right? This one, less involved, more wide receiver heavy. And it's just every game has a different game plan. We'll see what they come up with next week. Thanks a lot for the call. Steve in Amherst, you're up next. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. What I saw New Orleans make it a two-point game. But when Buffalo went out on the field, I'm one of these guys, I believe. That's what I said. I guaranteed it. I said, Josh is going to take us down. We're going to score this touchdown. Right now, where would you rather be? We score. I was not sure on the defense if they would hold, but this was my belief again. Let them score, let them get six, let them even get two, but I really believe that if that would have happened, that Buffalo would have come back and Josh would have ensured that we win this game no matter what. And anytime these guys want, I'm not a betting man, but if you ever see a line out there at 14.5, at 16.5 points, don't take it because you're being baited. So be careful on bets if you're a better.
Okay, Steve. I'm glad you have that faith, but I'll tell you what. When the pass to Cooks is originally caught and called a touchdown, the Saints take a lead there. They take a lead. And that starts to get a little dicey. And I had faith, too, that Josh Allen could do it, but the problem would be the way the Saints were running the ball, they might keep it away from you the rest of the game, and you don't get opportunities. So I'm glad you have that faith, but that was a big, big call, big, big play, and obviously it turned out to not be a touchdown. That put the Saints down two, and then the Bills scored another touchdown, which obviously kind of put the game away and put them up two scores. Michael in Cheektowaga is up next. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Calling from Cleveland Hill.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, I got some great stories someday I could share with you about watching them play in the late 60s and 70s. Anyhow, I think it's a flawed argument about people complaining about the long passing, and your previous caller touched on it. Just sit down and write on a piece of paper, write the elite playmakers that are on your defense and the elite playmakers that are on your offense, and you would want your offense on the field more. And when Sean McDermott says complimentary football, long drives, special teams to help with field position, but our defense is on the field too long. And how many times, just to take a look at the films, that Joey Bosa was like pounding the ground when they were going around him. And, you know, he was trying to tackle a guy that's already passed him. I love Joey Bosa, but it just doesn't make sense to, like, try, well, we're going to throw the ball long. Yeah, and then we're going to score faster, and then we're going to send our defense out there to play the majority of the game.
Well, it wouldn't be a problem if they do score, but if you throw the ball long and it's incomplete, then it becomes a big problem with what you're saying. You're 100% about that, right? And then you got to put them out there. Yeah, yeah. Scoring's great. If you score, who cares? I mean, if they score within one play, the other team's still got to match you. But I agree with you that, hey, there is risk involved, and you could get the ball turned over. By the way, thank you on Joey Bosa. I haven't talked about him, Mike, and I want to do that right now because I thought he crashed down a little bit too much, crashed down like the end and got beat around. Like his edge setting wasn't good enough, but it wasn't because he's not a good edge setter. Joey Bosa is actually a good edge setter when he is willing to and wants to be a good edge setter and plays it like that. But he, I think, was going to the quarterback and getting beat around the edge, not only this game but against the Dolphins as well. And it is something I think the Bills have to kind of – you know, fix a little bit with him because that's what he is. He's great at sacking the quarterback. It's what he's made his living on. But I think teams are taking advantage of him crashing down and going to the quarterback and using that against him, and something he's going to have to be aware of going forward. Tom in Wheatfield is up next. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Sal?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. I heard the Cleve Hill reference. I'm a Maryvale alumni. Kill the Hill. Remember that phrase?
Yes, I do. I remember. I do, of course. Yeah. Actually, when we were very young, they played a lot, the two schools. And then when I got to high school, we did not play at all. And I think they started. Yes, of course I remember that. And I remember bonfire. I remember bonfires where we put a Maryvale helmet on the top of the bonfire.
You got it, man. I'm 62 years old, so I got it by a decade. But
you got it, buddy. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Real quick reference. Back in the early 90s, I think you were here then. I don't think you were in Florida at that point.
But I mean, I was in Syracuse in college.
Okay. Well, GR had a host in the morning, Saturday mornings anyways, named Rocky or Rocco Pandola.
I remember Rocco, yep.
Yeah, and some of the calls today remind me of what he had said, where the Bills were 9-3. It was during the bowl years. And he was saying it was embarrassing. And I almost went off the road. I distinctly remember because I was going to the bank, and I'm just like, "What the really?" And then I'm hearing the calls today, and I'm just like, "A lot of the head coaches break the season. I think Marone did. I don't know if Sean does it, but they would break it the season into quarters. You know, we're 4-0 in the first quarter of the season. It was easier to do when it was 16 games, obviously. But at any rate, we're 4-0, man, and." I don't care how we won. Our defense is going to get better. I do have a lot of faith in Michael Hoyt and praying for that. And, I think we should be happy where we're at. The best team in football with the Eagles. And, let's just freaking bring it.
All right. You got it, Tom. I love it. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate your passion. Let's go to JD in Hamburg. Hi, JD.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Actually, I'm glad I'm talking to you because I think you'd be a great guy to bring this up with the coach if you tend to agree. And here it is. I'm surprised more Bills fans aren't talking about this. I watched the All-22. I watched replays of the game. I think, Sal, the Bills have got to stop playing two linebackers on like 95% of their downs. They need to get a third linebacker in there in the heart of their defense. And they are leaving Shaq Thompson on the bench way too much. And if you want to play a base nickel, that's fine. But as far as I'm concerned, Sal, they're damn good when they throw a third linebacker in there. And I'll even point out that on that late game drive where we stopped the Saints on fourth down, they chose to put Shaq in there as a third linebacker, if I'm not mistaken, on every single one of those plays on that particular drive. The rest of the day, he was almost non-existent. And I honestly think the Bills are paying a price for this. And I really think it's time for a third linebacker at least 5 or 6 times more than they're doing it now. Wanted to hear what you had to say.
Okay, well, first things first. It is not my place to ever tell the Buffalo Bills how to run their defense, so I would never do that. Like you could ask questions, but that's I don't do that. You can call up and say it, and I could say it on the radio and what I think, but I would never go to Sean McDermott and say you should play through. That's not my place. I don't do things like that.
Understand. You know what I mean? Understand. So what do you think?
Okay, here's what I think. First of all, the Bills are actually playing a third linebacker way more this year than they have in the last few years. And then yesterday, let me just get the numbers yesterday. I actually tweeted out the snap counts. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull this up for you from yesterday because they did play. How much did they play? Three linebackers in base yesterday. Maybe not as much with Shaq. And by the way, Shaq had missed a little time early in the season. So yesterday, Taron Johnson was on the field quite a bit. Shaq Thompson was not on the field very much. Last week was a little different. They had, like, last week, let me get you the numbers on this. I just pulled it up here. Against the Miami Dolphins, there were 61 defensive snaps. Shaq Thompson was on the field for 21 of the 61, Taron Johnson for 40. Now, you could say, well, that's just too much. Here's the problem I have. I don't disagree that you can be better in those sets. Taron Johnson is maybe the best nickel corner in the league. And when a team has a slot receiver to cover, do you want a linebacker and Shaq Thompson covering him?
No, I think he's great, Sal. I'm just asking you, don't you think that even if you play a base nickel, that the Bills really would look better a lot of the time, I think, if they leaned on three linebackers more often?
Maybe. But it is a response. You have to remember, it's a response. What they're doing is a response to what the offense is doing. And if they go heavy and put a fullback or an extra tight end, you're going to see them go three linebackers. If they run, you know, 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, you're going to see Taron Johnson on the field because they're going to have more receivers to cover on the field. And I would think that you would agree that you really don't want three linebackers lined up against three wide receivers or four wide receivers necessarily, right? That would be the thing. So I understand where you're coming from. Here's the other part I would say about this, though, to be honest with you. I think he hung up. I do think it's a good point to make here about maybe how things are different with Matt Milano healthy. Because with Matt Milano, I think he presents a different element at will linebacker than what Dorian Williams does. Matt Milano is much better in coverage than Dorian Williams is. So I think with Milano out there, it makes it a little different than what you're seeing. And it's a great point. I like it. There's no right answer here. There's no right answer. Because you could definitely say, put three linebackers on the field more, you're going to be better against this, that, and the other thing. You're also going to be sacrificing there. And when you have Matt Milano versus Dorian Williams, that makes a difference when a team passes even out of a heavier set than if Dorian Williams is covering. And I think all of that matters, but yeah, I'm not going to go tell Sean McDermott that. I'm going to just talk about it on the radio. Maybe that's not my place. My place would be to ask him, what's your philosophy on that? Let's go to Doug in Hamburg. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call, man. Appreciate it.
You got it.
You got really good insight to stats and stuff that I could never figure out. So I wanted to ask your opinion on how much of the third down defense, or just the defense in general, is a positive for us because we're that good, or because New Orleans was just that bad with all the drop passes and blown up plays that they had?
Well, blown up plays are a credit to a defense, no?
Oh, I'm sorry, bad phrasing, but I'm hoping you understand what I'm trying to get.
I mean, it's a football game, right? Okay. I mean, like, you have to put that team in that position. And I don't know. I guess you could go either way, right? I could look at it either way. Five of 13 on third down means you're doing some things right, but certainly they're going to hurt themselves. It's no different than the Bills. The Bills were 3 of 10 on third down, by the way, which is not a good number. And I'm sure they had some self-inflicted wounds there. But I just think it's all. Hey, listen. Last week against Miami, this is a good example here, Doug. Last week against Miami, the Bills were not good on third down, 10 of 15. But, you know, they were playing a game that was a little different and saying, let's not get beat deep. And because of that, they allowed too much underneath and Miami got some first downs. So the way the Bills look at it is, look, we put them in third and long and we're not going to get beat deep. Yeah, we want to get off the field, but we don't want to be results-based. We want to make sure that they're working for everything they get. So I think you could just look at it a lot of different ways. The Saints' third downs, I'm sure, are a bit of a product of them hurting themselves, but I don't think that should take away from the Bills doing the job. Right.
Well, I'm looking at it from the opposite point of view, in that I don't want to give the credit to the defense if it's something that they didn't do. You got a guy who dropped the ball off his fingertips. You got the drop pass in the end zone. Scoring opportunities for both of them that had nothing to do with our defense. They just blew the play.
Do you think that the ball going off the fingertips on the sidelines could also be because there's tight coverage, so he has to put it in a spot right there?
I think we're thinking of two different plays. I'm thinking of the one in the middle of the field where it was a little bit behind him, but it was definitely catchable.
And sure. If you
Listen, Doug.
If you want to do this, you have every right to do it. I mean, if you think that everything that happens just or because the team isn't that bad and they're making their own mistakes and your team did nothing right, I can't stop you. But there's two teams playing out there. I mean, you know, I mean, and it's a football game.
That's not trying to get at. I'm asking you because you have more opportunity to look at film and different angles and stuff.
Well, I don't know what you want me to say other than, yes, do the Saints make mistakes? Sure. I think you have to also put yourself in a position to force some mistakes, and there's also times where you made the play, right? I mean, like, there's a third down where...
Looking at it from a skewed, pessimistic point of way. So if that's what you're seeing, then I can look at it that way and go, you know what?
You can look at it any way you want. I'm not telling you not to. Let me look at the state. Let me look at their third downs by game. So let me just look at it. Let's see. What did they do third down? It's a good exercise. Let me go to the Saints. I'll pull up the Saints right now. So if you want to look at it a little bit more holistically, I guess, and say, what have they done? And is it against the Bills here? All right. So third downs for the Saints this year. The Bills did, it's pretty much in line with what they've done all year. 5 of 14, 4 of 11, 5 of 15, 5 of 13. So, I don't know. I mean, they're exactly what they've kind of been all year.
Yeah.
You know? No better, no worse, really. So, you can look at it however you want. I think the answer, Doug, is there's always a little bit of it. There's always a little bit of the other team, you know, making mistakes, and there's always a little bit of you forcing mistakes and making plays. You know, when there's a third down and Terrell Bernard has a great timed blitz and forces...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And forces Spencer Rattler to throw it and be called for intentional grounding. That's a play the Bills make. That's not on them making a mistake.
Yeah, they definitely had some amazing plays yesterday. There's no doubt about that. I was just curious about that perspective or point of view to see if I was looking at it. Let me ask you this.
The third down that Cole Bishop intercepted, how would you describe that on who made a play or who did something wrong?
Oh, that was all him. It was all defense. He read that beautifully. And he read it in such a way that Rattler didn't even have a chance to pick up that he was coming.
Yeah, it's great. And I will tell you, though, I guarantee you, today on Saints Radio, there's some people going, I can't believe we ran that stupid play. you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you could look at it so many different ways, I guess, which is kind of the cool part about being a fan. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Doug. Good exercise to walk through. Tom and NT, what's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good.
Always, you know, always a great on Victory Monday. Yeah, you know, look, and I've been hearing people today, and I think sometimes as Bills fans, we're never thought I would have said this 5-10 years ago, but we're getting a little spoiled. And look, I'm all for saying, all right, they won. What can we improve on? What can we do better? And that's great, and we should have that. But, you know, I hear people saying, well, you know, the passing game isn't good enough. Well, there's still 6 in the NFL in passing yards per game, which I know is not the only measure of a passing game, but it's you know, it's not like they're entirely sacrificing the passing game for this run game. And even the defense, you know, let's give them a little credit. There was 4 drive starts the Saints had yesterday in Bills territory, and that puts the defense at a little bit of a disadvantage there. And then they still come up with stops. Yeah, it would have been nice, especially in the first and second quarter of the first half there, where the run defense had been a little better. But, you know, overall, they did their job, and they, like I said, you know, with 4 drive starts in the Bills' territory, that's, you know, holding a team to 19 points, even, you know, quote unquote, even the Saints, that's not a horrible performance overall. And just, you know, kind of take a step back and realize that things, you know, not everything's entirely bad, and just, you know, look for improvement, but,
Yeah, hey, it is an NFL football team. It was 0-3 trying to help, you know, salvage their season. They're not a great team. They have a young quarterback, But, you know, they came. I thought they did some nice things yesterday, and they had a nice game plan to, you know, get that kid out moving a little bit. He's got some legs. I thought the Bills could have spied on him a little bit more than they did. He made some plays, and they stayed in the game. Thanks, Tom. I enjoy the perspective. Yep. Thanks, buddy. Be well. All right. We will take a timeout. When we come back, I'm going to run through what happened around the league. Got a stat for you from the Giants-Chargers game that relates to a Bills game from years ago and how that game wound up. And we'll take a look at the AFC and the standings right now heading into tonight, where you got some other AFC teams playing, which are going to factor into what's happening around the conference. We'll get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, all along the way here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hey, join Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe, Friday, October 3rd. That's this Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Thirsty Buffalo on Elmwood. Scan the QR code on site for a chance to win two tickets to the Bills-Dolphins game in Miami. That's right, in Miami. Plus two $1,000 Visa gift cards. It's all courtesy of Heineken. Must be 21 and older to enter. No purchase necessary. Sounds like a great time. Maybe you were inside the stadium yesterday for a great time. The Bills beat the New Orleans Saints 31-19. Let's get to our extra point from the sidelines. It is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And it really was a beautiful day. I just want to talk about the environment yesterday at a 1 o'clock game inside that stadium. Sunday, 1 o'clock, beautiful. What's the game time temp? Do you want to guess, Joe Callie? Do you want to guess what the game time kickoff temperature was? Do you know?
I want to say 75?
Ooh, close. 73.
It was a beautiful day.
73 kickoff temperature on the official game book in Orchard Park. 73, 56% humidity, which is nothing. 7 mph winds. Beautiful.
Yeah, football
high,
weather.
High temp 76 during the game, I guess it got to. There you go. High temp 76. You could put everything. They put everything on the game book. High temp 76. Mix of sun and clouds. It's on the game book.
That's crazy.
I know, right? Anyway, I just pulled that up and looked at it. It was a great day yesterday. It was great to be out at the stadium. And really, it kind of dovetails into what the rest of this schedule looks like, because we all know, like, the Bills just don't have many 1 p.m. home games, or even really 1 p.m. games, a lot of them overall. They do have one at Miami. They have another one against the Bucks, one at Carolina. But, okay, I guess you got at New England, at Cleveland. So they do have some more on the road. But at home, you have one more really scheduled, and that is against Tampa on November 16th. But then I'm guessing the one against the Jets at the end will be at 1 o'clock, but it could be at 4:25. We'll see. But that was a beautiful day yesterday. Great to see so many people out there. A lot of kids at the game yesterday. Like, more kids, I guess, younger people than I'm used to seeing. And I think it's because of that, because it's not a night game. Right? Like, if you're going to take a kid to a game, you're like, what game going to we go to? Well, that's a Sunday night. That's a Monday night. That's a Thursday night. Let's go to the afternoon game. And that was cool to see. So that was a good, energetic crowd yesterday. And people were kind of nervous for a while, but wound up going the Bills' favor, obviously. And that was great to see the Bills go to 4-0. And that is our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. Let's take a look around the league yesterday, tell you what happened in the NFL. We started Thursday night. We talked about that on Friday. Seahawks beat the Cardinals 23-20. But then yesterday in the morning, Steelers. What did Chris Brown say? This is such a Steelers win. It was, right? 24-21 over the Minnesota Vikings. The Steelers were up in this game 24-6 in the fourth quarter. And then the Vikings not only score a couple times, they get the ball back and they have a chance. But near at the end of the game, they can't convert. And the Steelers move to 3-1. The Vikings fall to 0-2. After a game in Dublin. Did you know, Joe Callie? This is the back-to-back weeks for the Vikings in international play. They play also next week in London.
Really?
Yeah, so they were in Dublin, and now they go to London. I haven't read the story, but someone wrote a story about how they actually requested the league to do that for some reason. I'm going to go back and read it, but the league has always wanted to kind of, they've done this with Jacksonville, being over there for 2 weeks in a row. These are two road games considered for the Vikings, both one in Dublin, and then the back-to-back, they're going to London against the Browns next Sunday morning.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's insane. Would that be a little bit of an advantage for them in the second road
game?
Yeah,
I think people would consider that, right? And then they'll have their bye week coming back, so really interesting.
Yeah.
That's happening. But that'll be another couple international games next week, by the way. That's not the only one. Also, Actually, is it? Yeah, it's the only one. I'm sorry. It's the only international game next week. Okay, so Commanders, without Jaden Daniels again, go to Atlanta, and Marcus Mariota throws for 156 and two touchdowns, but not enough because Michael Penix and the Falcons' offense looked really good yesterday. They roll up 435 yards of offense, Bijan Robinson 75 yards on the ground, and 106 through the air. That's a guy. He's a beast when it comes to an all-purpose monster. Commanders fall to 2-2. Falcons, they improved to 2-2. That's really interesting for them after they were shut out by the Panthers last week. Speaking of the Panthers, they go to New England and get destroyed 42-13. But I looked at this box score. The Panthers had more first downs. They had more third down conversions. They outgained New England in this game, 326-307.
That's insane. And then you get absolutely destroyed. Yeah.
And no turnovers. But the New England had a punt return for a touchdown, which got him rolling. And I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me. Like, I haven't watched this game, but 42-13, yet they had more first downs. They outgained them. They had 5 yards of play. Now, New England had 6.4 yards of play. Looks like New England kind of won with a big play, actually, is what they did. So, Panthers fall to 1-3. New England, the Patriots come to Buffalo next week. They're 2-2. And they're looking to get 3-2 and get a win on the Bills in head-to-head, obviously. Browns are at the Lions. Browns were the team I chose in the loser pool for Paul, so I'm still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to all of you who chose the Chargers because you are out and I am not anymore. So that's good. I didn't think that the Browns could hold with the Lions, especially after that big win last week. You kind of come down from that. You go and play a Lions. Now, Lions had a big win last week, too. But Lions are better than I thought they would be, losing both coordinators. And here they go again, scoring a boatload of points. The last 3 weeks for the Lions, 52, 38, and 34. It's insane, right, mm-hmm. What they're doing right there. In this game, Jahmyr Gibbs runs for 91. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7 targets, 7 catches, 70 yards. How about that? 7-7-7. Play your lottery tonight, pal. And Joe Flacco threw 2 picks for the Browns.
Yeah, he's not playing the same way he did those couple years ago when he was in for them.
No, and the Browns defense is really good, but that was not a good day for them.
No,
that was not a good day. They go to Cleveland and they go to Detroit, excuse me, and they go to 1-3. Detroit goes to 3-1. How about the Texans with a shutout over the Tennessee Titans? I kind of don't like Brian Callahan very much. He seems like he's kind of a jerk to people sometimes.
A little bit.
Like
yeah.
In press conferences.
Oh yeah.
Did you see him yesterday? And this week? He's like, you know, reporters are asking like some valid questions, like, well, I don't know. He's like, he's so condescending to them.
I've seen the clips on Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm like, and somebody wrote like, he looks like he wants to go fight like the reporters outside. Like, they're not being combative with him.
No, they're just asking questions.
They're
doing their job. Yeah.
It's kind of weird, right? And yeah. So anyway, yesterday, Cam Ward, 10 of 26, 108 in an interception, not going well for the young quarterback. C.J. Stroud, very efficient yesterday, 22 of 28, 233 and 2 touchdowns for the Houston Texans. They get their first win of the year, 1-3. Titans still looking for their first win. They're 0-4. Bills, of course, play the Texans on a Thursday night in November in Houston.
Yeah, the Texans needed that win. No doubt.
And, you know, now, and honestly, can't you see... Is there a world where you could see maybe the Texans competing still in the South? I could.
Oh, they're going to
Indy and Jacksonville.
If they win their division, yeah, Indianapolis, if they hit a stall at any point in the season,
Texans could be there at the end.
Yeah.
All right, Giants beat the Chargers 21-18. I'm going to give you a stat in this game. I found this today because I'm looking at the box score going, wait a minute, what's going on here? Similarly to what I told you about New England and Carolina, check this out.
Okay,
Chargers had 6 yards of play. The Giants had 3.6, which is incredibly low. Okay? And I'm like, how do you lose a game when you out yard per play a team 6.0 to 3.6? So I went to StatHead, that's Pro Football Reference, and I put in the query. My team has 3.6 or less. Their team has 6.0 or more, but I still won. It's the first time it's happened in the NFL since 2018.
Wow.
And the last time it happened was the Bills game against the Dolphins where Charles Clay in the end zone, Josh's rookie year.
Oh, my gosh.
In that game,
that's
crazy. The Bills gained 6.29 yards of play, the Dolphins 3.5, and the Bills lost.
I remember that game.
Yes.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's the last time it happened. I mean, what are we talking here? 7 years. It's been 7 years since a team lost a game with 6 yards of play or more, giving up 3.9 yards a play or more.
And Brian Daboll's now been on both sides of it.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's even crazier. That. It's the same person, kind of. Yeah.
3.6 yards a play or less, I should say. So crazy. Anyway, Giants, I'm burying the lead. Malik Nabers out for the year, torn ACL. Terrible.
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 Jackson, it looked like he went to jump and just tweaked his knee. And it was, terrible. Yeah, non-contact.
Jackson Dart scores a touchdown, gets a win. Good for him. Table and Jackson Dart after the game, to see their interaction going crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now Joe Alt's hurt for the Chargers for a while. They're already without Rashawn Slater. They moved Alt over to his side. And Herbert was not good yesterday. Two interceptions, 23 of 41, 203. Protection's an issue there. Okay. Got to fly through a couple of these here. The Buccaneers, the Eagles. There's another one for you, Joe. Did you know the Eagles did not complete a pass in the entire second half of the game yesterday?
I found that out this morning.
Did not complete a pass in the entire second half.
Insane. I think 0 for 8.
0 for 8, yet they won 31-25 over the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
31-25. Eagles with the Bills, only 4-0 teams in the NFL. Bucs fall to 3-1. They were undefeated. Bucs come to Buffalo in mid-November. Colts, they lose to the Rams 27-20. Adonai Mitchell, is how you say his name right?
Adonai. Yeah, right. Okay. I'm not 100% positive.
AD Mitchell drops the ball on his way into the end zone before he gets there. Just a tough play for them. He has a holding call and another touchdown is called back. The Rams go deep and they have a 2-2 Atwell touchdown late in the game to win 27-20. They're both 3-1 now, Colts and Rams. Jags knock the 49ers off from the unbeatens. The Jags are now 3-1. The Niners are 3-1 in this game. Trevor Lawrence, 21-31, only 174 and touchdown. Good, efficient day for him. Brock Purdy did throw for 309, but he also had two interceptions to go along with his two touchdown passes. And, of course, Baltimore and Kansas City. Boy, Kansas City just jumped out and just took it to Baltimore after that. After the first series for Baltimore where they score, it's all Kansas City after that. After an opening touchdown by the Ravens, Kansas City outscores them the rest of the way, 37-13. They win 37-20. Patrick Mahomes, 270 yards and four touchdown passes. Lamar Jackson leaves the game late. What they said was a hamstring injury, but the game was kind of out of hand, so we'll see where that goes with the Ravens, who fall to 1-3, and the Chiefs at 2-2. Back and forth, great game between the Raiders and Bears last night, yesterday afternoon. Bears win 25-24. The Raiders go for a walk-off field goal. It's blocked. Another blocked field goal in this league, which is great. I love seeing it. Make special teams matter again. They certainly are this year. Ashton Gentry finally breaking out. 138 yards and a touchdown run for the rookie running back for the Las Vegas Raiders, who get their the Raiders did lose the game. I'm making it sound like they won. 1-3 on the season. Bears do win the game. They're 2-2. They've now won back-to-back weeks after starting 0-2. Caleb Williams, 212, a touchdown and an interception. I'll get to the game last night in a minute. It's part of my sit-up, stand-down, and hey, buddy, which all comes your way after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. All right, let's get to sit up, stand down. We're going to get to our Hey Buddy segment as well. I mean, maybe this could actually be a both of a sit up kind of thing, to be honest with you, when I think about it. But I want to sit up and give credit to the Texans defense. Let's sit up and pay attention to the Texans defense. I talked a lot about, and I said CJ Stroud was regressing. We talked about that, but we just talked about the Texans a little while ago. Their defense is good, folks, and they are. They just had a shutout yesterday, 26-0. Their scores they've given up this year, only 14 to the Rams, 20 to the Bucs. These are good offenses. 17 to the Jags, then nothing yesterday. So 14, 20, 17, and nothing. And they get the Ravens next week in Baltimore. And if Lamar Jackson is not in that game, that's going to be tough sledding, even if he is. That's really interesting. The Texans have a good defense. When the Bills go to Houston, and we all saw last year, they gave Josh Allen and the Bills offense fits. When the Bills go to Houston in November on a Thursday night, that is going to be a tougher game maybe than you realize against that defense, because it is very good. Let's sit up on what the Texans defense is doing. They may keep them into this AFC South race for a while, and they might have a chance when it's all said and done. All right, let's stand down on the way that the overtime ended yesterday in Packers, Cowboys. Did you see this game? 40-40. Okay, now. If you're in Green Bay today, you're like, I can't believe they almost ran that clock out because they threw a pass at the very, very end, and luckily there was 1 second. If the ball like gets batted up in the air and then falls to the ground and one more second comes off, the Packers would have lost the game. stupidly because they decided to run a play like that and take that much time as the clock was running. But they did ultimately kick the field goal with 1 sec.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remaining. The reason, what I'm saying though is, can we please just get rid of the clock on overtime? Here's actually what you should do. I don't mind the clock. Here's my idea, Joe. When a team scores on their first possession, if the other team has their second possession, which they get now, if clock expires 15, they can finish out the possession. That's what I just finish out the possession. That's what
Dallas
they should be allowed
able to
do.
Run that down.
Yes.
And just leave them with nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not.
You could do that. Anybody could do that. You could literally just run the clock down and leave a team 30 seconds, score a touchdown, like, okay, sorry, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean.
This might cause an off-season discussion.
And there has been talk about this, but that's what I want to stand down on. Stand down on the way that the overtime rule works, because I think that you need to at least allow that team. And it didn't matter yesterday necessarily, but it could have mattered, because if that ball falls at 0-0, they would have had fourth down, a chance to tie the game, and they wouldn't have been able to do it. Right? And I think that's why you got to be able to do that. All right, let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Lou, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
I referenced him earlier, but I'm just going to say it here. My buddy is Howard Simon. I got to know how he's feeling. I'm feeling really bad for him. Hey, buddy, I hope you're okay after that epic Mets collapse and not making the playoffs with that payroll and that roster. Holy cow. How did the Mets not make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough.
Really, really tough. Howard, I texted him, Joe, and I said, Howard, I want you to know you're going to be my buddy today for Hey Buddy, and he has not responded.
Oh, no.
And I'm worried about my buddy, Howard Simon, that he's just in a corner crying right now, upset. And then Pete Alonso said he's opting out, right? He's going to be a free agent again. I think that he said that.
Whoa.
I believe I read that.
Yeah. I just haven't been tuned in at all today, but whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So tomorrow, playoffs begin. And by the way the playoffs work in the first round, best of three, all in one place. So all three games, that way you have no travel for a three-game series. And you got Detroit and Cleveland, and every day is the exact same time. Detroit and Cleveland at 1 o'clock, Padres and Cubs at 3 o'clock, Red Sox-Yankees at 6 o'clock, Reds-Dodgers at 9 o'clock. So you get that for basically three straight days. And let's hope, for my sake, it's only 2 days and the Yankees can take care of business against the Red Sox. So
I'm hoping so, too. I'm with you on that.
Are you a Yankee fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a band together here against Bulldog, I think. So
yes.
All right. Thanks a lot to G producing on the video side of the bullpen for coming in, for all of you for watching, for listening. Thanks a lot to Joe Kelly as well. I'll be back later this week with reports from One Bills Drive on Wednesday. You got Zach and Derek coming your way tomorrow here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, One Bills Live up next here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.